Happy Sabbath, everyone. There's a special Sabbath. We can call it maybe a high Sabbath, right? The Sabbath where we're talking about the Sabbath. One of my favorite topics. I love the Sabbath. The blessed day. Thankful that God gave it to us each week. And what do you think? Should we still worship on the Sabbath? Well, today we're going to look at what the Bible says about whether we should still keep the Sabbath. Like, why not worship on Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Friday? Why the Sabbath? Well, we're going to dive into God's Word, have kind of a Bible study, I guess, and talk about God's holy Sabbath. Before we do that, let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you so much for this day of rest. Be refreshed, Lord, to be reminded that you are our God. And Lord, as we now come and worship you, our Creator and our Savior, our Father and our friend, Lord, we ask that you come near to us. May your Holy Spirit fill this place, Father. Lord, may our hearts and minds be on a firm foundation, knowing, Lord, that your seventh-day Sabbath is the Sabbath, Lord, and it's the Sabbath for all time. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So how did the Seventh-day Adventist Church start to keep the Sabbath? The Sabbath is... Oh, Kathy, so good to see you here. We're glad you made it. Yes. We were praying for you. Yes. So the Sabbath is obviously in our name, and it's fundamental belief number 20. We're going through the fundamental beliefs, and this week's number 20. So how did Seventh-day Adventists start keeping the Sabbath? Well, the year was 1843. It was before the Great Disappointment of 1844, and there were a group of Millerites that were gathered there studying the Bible in a little town called Washington, New Hampshire. And they had this study studying about the soon advent of Jesus. And in their group was a lady named Rachel Oaks. Now, Rachel Oaks was a Seventh-day Baptist. And so she was part of the Baptist faith, but the Seventh-day Baptist. So they kept the Sabbath day holy. And so she started to pass out some tracts to this group of Millerites there about why we should still keep the Sabbath. She said, we keep the other nine. Why aren't we keeping the fourth commandment? And one of the members in that group's name was William Farnsworth. And he read that tract, and he was convinced that he should be keeping the Sabbath. And so next Sunday at church, in the service, he stood up on his feet. Imagine someone standing up in the service. And he declared that he intended to keep God's Sabbath of the fourth commandment going forward. And about 11 or 12 other congregants stood up with him and said, we want to keep the Sabbath too. And so this group in that Sunday church decided they were going to start keeping the Sabbath. Well, now the pastor of the church, he wondered, you know, what is this? His name was Frederick Wheeler. And so he decided that he was going to do some digging in and trying to determine if we should be keeping the Sabbath or not. And so he studied the Bible, and he pretty soon accepted the Sabbath as well. He was the first Millerite pastor, the first pastor preaching the Advent, the coming of Jesus, that accepted the Sabbath truth. And he shared that with another preacher, T.M. Preble. And he also accepted the Sabbath. He lived there in that same state. And in February of 1845, Pastor Preble, not sure if I'm saying that right, published an article about the binding claims of the fourth commandment on Christians. And this article got published in a magazine and circulated. And there was a man, a prominent minister, you might have heard his name, by the name of Joseph Bates. Anybody heard of Joseph Bates? Yes, of course. Joseph Bates in Fairhaven, Massachusetts. And he got a copy of that article and read it. And he was intrigued, and the Holy Spirit was working on him. And he decided, I'm going to travel up there to New Hampshire and study with them and find out what this is all about. And so that's sure enough what he did. He got, well, I don't know how he got there actually, but somehow he got up there to New Hampshire and he studied with them for a while. And when he returned home, he was convinced that he needs to be keeping the seventh day Sabbath. And so he also determined that he was going to publish a tract about the Sabbath. And so he did. He published a 48-page pamphlet on the Sabbath in the Old and New Testament and why we should still keep it. And he got that circulated widely there in August of 1846. Now, August of 1846 was the same month that James and Ellen White got married, the founders of our church. And shortly after their marriage, they were given a copy of Joseph Bates' 48-page article. And they read it and studied it, and they too were convinced that they should be keeping the seventh-day Sabbath. And so they started to keep the Sabbath holy. And so this was the beginnings of what grew into the Seventh-day Adventist Church and how we get our name, Seventh-day Adventist. And about 7 months later, in early 1847, around April 1847, Ellen White had a vision. They had been keeping the Sabbath for 7 months, and she had this vision from God where she saw into heaven, and she saw the Ark of the Covenant there, and inside the Ark, she saw the Ten Commandments. And around the fourth commandment was a halo of light. And then she was taken to the end of time, where she saw the Sabbath as the final test to this world of whether people will be faithful to God or not. And so God confirmed with his people that yes, the Sabbath is still the truth for all time. And so that's how Seventh-day Adventists came about and started keeping the Sabbath. And so I want to look with you into some of the reasons in the Bible for why we keep the Sabbath today. And I think it's best to start at the beginning, right? Start at the beginning. Now, a lot of people, I went to Pepperdine University, a non-Adventist college, it's Church of Christ, and I had lots of conversations with people about why I keep the Sabbath. In fact, a couple months ago, I was preaching up in Maine on religious liberty. We were having a religious liberty weekend there, and they'd asked me to speak, and I was staying at the Best Western there in Augusta, Maine, and I went downstairs Sabbath morning to have the continental breakfast provided before going over to speak across the street. And I see a gentleman there with his Bible open, reading. I was like, oh, someone's here for the Religious Liberty Conference. And so I got my plate of food and went and sat down with him and started talking. And come to find out, he was a Baptist pastor just having his morning worship. And so I was a little surprised. I thought I was going to be having breakfast with an Adventist there for the conference. And so he asked me what I was doing there, and I told him, well, I'm a religious liberty speaker, religious liberty attorney, and I'm here speaking today, and got talking, told him I was a Seventh-day Adventist. And as soon as I said that, he said, well, you know, I keep the Sabbath of the New Testament. And I said, oh, really? I was thinking in my mind, so that's where we're going. Okay. And so this, as soon as I said I was Seventh-day Adventist, he said, I keep the Sabbath of the New Testament. I was like, well, can you show me? I've had some trouble finding where to keep Sunday in the New Testament. Can you show me that? Because he had his Bible there. And so we ended up having about a 45-minute Bible study on the Sabbath. And I got to share with him how the people in the New Testament kept the Sabbath, and how nowhere in the Bible does it say to keep Sunday, the first day, or any other day of the week, holy. And so it was an interesting conversation, and hopefully it planted some seeds and gave them some things to think about. But part of their argument is that the Sabbath was made for Jews, right? Anybody heard that before? Yeah, so I get that a lot. The Sabbath was made for Jews. Well, my question to them is, when God created the world, when he made the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh day, how many Jews were there on the seventh day? None, right? There were no Jews there. It was Adam and Eve and God. God set up the Sabbath day for all mankind. It wasn't just for a certain sect or people. Now, this also was set up before sin entered the world. The Sabbath was an institution that God gave us before there was sin in the world. In fact, if Adam and Eve had never sinned, what day would the whole world be worshiping on? The Sabbath, right? Every Sabbath, they would be worshiping God. Now, God also set up work. He set up work and he set up rest before sin entered the world. And so work was a good thing. Anybody like work? I enjoy work. We don't want to work too much, right? God didn't want us to work too much. He told Adam and Eve, it says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it. God told Adam that he was to work. Even though he's here in this perfect world, this perfect environment, God gave him something to do, to work, to keep the garden, that is to tend it. And then the word keep means to protect. He was also supposed to protect it. Protect it. And we know that the world was created perfect, but there was still an enemy, a foe, that God had charged Adam to protect that space from by not allowing Satan to have dominion over it. And so God gave Adam this job to keep it, but he gave him rest also. He wasn't supposed to work for 7 days. He was supposed to work for 6 days and then rest on the seventh day. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. Was God tired? That's a lot of work. I mean, to create every flower, every tree. I mean, I would be exhausted, right? What do you think? You think God was tired and he needed to rest? Anybody had a hard week and just needed to rest? Yeah, we get tired, but does God get tired? Let's look what Isaiah chapter 40 says. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. It says, have you not known? Have you not heard? the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. God does not faint. He does not weary. He does not need rest, right? If God does not need rest, then why did God rest? Why did he rest? As an example, we see it in the very next verse why God rested. It says in verse 3 of Genesis chapter 2, "And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." God rested because he had completed his job. He had completed his task of creation. And we will see later on that when God completes his task of redemption, when was that? When did God complete his task of redemption? At the cross, right? When he gave his life so that he died for our sins and he completed that task, he also rested in the grave on the Sabbath day. And so when God completes his task, he rests. Now, according to the verse, when did God bless the seventh day and sanctify it? Was it on Sabbath? Or was it after the Sabbath? It says that, "And God blessed the Sabbath day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested." So is God blessing the Sabbath day during the Sabbath, or was it after the Sabbath? After the Sabbath. It says he had rested. He had rested. So God had rested that day. And after that day, God blesses the Sabbath day and sanctifies it. Now, why is that important? That God blessed it after the fact. It's important because it shows that the blessing was in the future on all Sabbaths here going forward. Because if God had only blessed the first Sabbath, how many of us could keep that first Sabbath? None of us, right? None of us were there. We would miss out on that blessing, right? But instead, he blessed the day going forward. And we see this in the Bible. When God blesses something, that means that there is divine favor on it and something good is going to happen in the future, right? When God blessed Abraham, the Bible says God blessed him and he became a great nation. And so God blessed him and then he had divine favor and something in the future happened that was good to him. God blessed Isaac, the Bible says in Genesis 26, and he became very wealthy. God blessed Jacob. And there he was working with Laban, the Bible says. And every time Laban changed his wages from the spotted lambs to the streaked lambs to the speckled lambs, that the lambs would bear the type of pattern that was Jacob's wages. And so when God blesses something, it means that it has divine favor of something good to happen in the future. And so God blesses the Sabbath day after the fact, showing that every Sabbath day going forward is a blessing. And we are blessed if we keep that day. If the Sabbath was just for physical rest, then any day in seven would do, right? But God didn't set aside any day in seven. God specifically set aside one day, the seventh day, and he blessed it and sanctified it. We see these three acts that God did to to the Sabbath day. Three distinct divine acts establishing the Sabbath day. The first is God rested on the Sabbath day. The second is God blessed the Sabbath day. He gave it his divine favor. And the third is that God sanctified the Sabbath day. What does it mean to sanctify? Set apart, to make holy, yes. To sanctify means to set apart or to make holy. God didn't just rest as an example. He didn't just pronounce a blessing on the day, but he also made the day holy. He made the day holy. What does it mean to make the day holy? It means that God is there on that day. When Moses approached the burning bush, God said, "The place you are standing is holy ground." Why was that ground holy? Because God was there. You see, if God hadn't been there, Moses could walk through there and it not matter. In fact, all the rest of the mountain that Moses had been walking on that day and all the 40 years prior were not holy because God was not physically there. But when God was there, it was holy. And God has set aside a day and time where he promises to be there. Don't be late. Don't be late. God is there, and he wants to spend that day with you. What happens to somebody when they mess with something that's holy? Do we see any examples in the Bible of what happens when people mess with something that's holy? I think Nadab and Abihu, they took that strange fire, right, and took it into the holy sanctuary, and what happened? They were consumed. Now, it was an interesting consumption, right? Because when you read the next verse, it says that they pulled them out by their tunics. Now, have you ever seen fire consume somebody that left their tunics on them? No, this is a holy fire, right? This is a little different. And so this is the same fire that consumes sin. And so here, they messed with something that was holy, and they had the consequence of death. In Exodus chapter 19, turn with me there if you have your Bibles. Exodus chapter 19. This is all the people were there at Mount Sinai, and God told Moses and the people to set up bounds around Mount Sinai and to sanctify it. It says in verse 23, it says, "But Moses said to the Lord, 'The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, set bounds around the mountain and sanctify it.'" So the people had sanctified the mountain. They had set bounds around it, and they had sanctified it because God was there on Mount Sinai. Now, what would happen if they went through the bounds? Go to verse 12 of that same chapter. God is telling Moses, "You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, 'Take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death.'" When someone touches what God has sanctified, they experience death. When someone touches that mountain, because God was there who is holy, they had to be put to death. When Uzzah reached out and touched the Ark of the Covenant, that holy, sacred Ark of God's presence, he immediately died. what happens when Satan and his followers mess with God's sanctified people? Do you know that you can be sanctified? What happens when Satan messes with God's sanctified people, when he touches that which God has made holy? Let's read 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. So those who are troubling God's people, those who are troubling the sanctified, it says, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord God is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So those who have the mark of the beast, those who do not know God in their mind, or do not obey, do not do with their hand, obeying God, it says that they are troubling God's faithful people, and God takes vengeance with flaming fire. And so when people touch that which is holy, when they mess with something that is sanctified, God takes vengeance, and they experience death. What happens when someone messes with God's holy Sabbath day? What do you think will happen if we mess with God's sanctified day? Yeah, we don't have to guess. The Bible tells us, if you turn with me to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Verse 25 tells us about a time when people will mess with God's sanctified day, when they will mess with his holy day, thinking to change the times and laws. It says in verse 25, talking about this little horn, which we know is the Roman Catholic Church, the papacy system that came up and pointed people away from Jesus, pointing them to man. It says, and he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, shall intend to change times and laws. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. But verse 26 says, but the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. When man messes with God's sanctified day, just like Uzzah, just like those who were going to touch the mountain of God when his presence was there, when man touches God's holy Sabbath day, the Bible says that the court will be seated and their dominion will be taken away and they will be consumed and destroyed forever. Friends, when we touch and mess with something that is holy, God takes that very seriously. And God says that he has a holy people. And when man touches God's holy people, the Bible says, it says, touching the apple of God's eye. How many of you like to be poked in the eye? That doesn't feel good, right? When people mess with you as God's child, it's like them poking God in the eye. Imagine God's not going to sit around and allow that to happen, right? He's going to take action, the Bible says. He's going to come and rescue his people. He's going to destroy the wicked, and he's going to save the righteous. And so God has a holy day. It's a day that he rested on, a day that he blessed, and it is a day that he sanctified, that he made holy. And if man touches that day and tries to change that day to another day, the Bible says in Daniel chapter 7 that they will be destroyed and consumed forever. So we see this three divine acts that set the Sabbath day apart from any other day. This is why Sunday can't be the Sabbath day. There is no place in the Bible where it says that God rested on Sunday. There's no place in the Bible that God's placed a blessing on Sunday. And there's no place in the Bible where God sanctified Sunday and made it a holy place, a holy time, like that song we heard, a temple made of time. The only day is the Sabbath day. God reserved this day as a special day for you and for me. There were so many gifts that God gave Adam and Eve. Who would like a pet horse? Anybody here? Your little hand there. Hand over there. Who would like a pet tiger? Maybe a pet dolphin. I would love a pet dolphin. I don't know where I'd put it. What? A donkey. Any other animal? A lion. That would be so cool. Guess what? Adam and Eve got all those gifts. They got the donkey. They got the lion. They got the horse and the tiger. And not just that. They got all the flowers and the fruits of all varieties and rubies and sapphires and diamonds and gems all right there in their hands. But the greatest gift that God gave them, the greatest gift was the Sabbath. God said, I will spend a day with you each week where you can get to know me and we can just hang out. Girls out, you guys like it when daddy goes to work and is on his computer? Or do you like it when daddy comes and plays with you? What do you like? When daddy plays with you, yes. Yes, and Adam and Eve, I can only imagine, they enjoyed every Sabbath, God would come down to the Garden of Eden and spend the day with them. God gave them this day as a special day so that they could get to know him and draw closer to him. And God gives us that day too so that we can draw closer to him. And there's a special blessing that we get, not just from spending time with God, but he gives us extra blessing. I was reading this article published in a medical journal about just anticipating the Sabbath, not even keeping the Sabbath rest, but just anticipating the Sabbath gives you higher quality sleep. Just that hope that you know I'm going to get the rest at the end of the week. Man, Monday was a tough day. But I know Sabbath is coming in 5 days. I get to sit back and just let go of all the problems of the world. And so they did this study and they published it in this medical journal that just anticipating that day of rest gives you higher quality of sleep. And we know that higher quality of sleep improves all different areas, your emotional and mental and physical well-being, right? And so just anticipating the Sabbath. But you know what else is a cool thing? Do you know the average person lives in America 77 years? The average person lives 77 years. But Seventh-day Adventists live 88 years. You guys know that? The average Seventh-day Adventist lives 88 years. And so the average Seventh-day Adventist lives 11 years longer than the average American. Now, let's look at this for a second. If the average American's living 77 years, how many days would that be that they're living? Well, we times that by 365. That gives us 28,105 days that the average person lives. Now, if this average person had kept the Sabbath, how many Sabbaths would that person have kept over those 77 years? Well, we would divide that by 7, right? So divided by 7, and that is 4,015 Sabbaths. So 4,015 Sabbaths. That's how many Sabbaths they would have kept if they lived 77 years. Now, how many years of Sabbaths is that? If every day was a Sabbath, how many years would that be? What do we need to divide by? 365? Divided by 365, exactly 11 years. You guys understand that? In other words, God, for every day that you keep the Sabbath in your life, God gives an extra day to your life. The Seventh-day Adventists live 11 years longer, and because for every Sabbath day they keep through their life, God gives them an extra day. To the T, it's exactly 11. Is that not amazing? I find that amazing, that God promises that them that honor me, I will honor. If you keep my Sabbath day holy, there is a blessing on that day. And he gives you an extra day in your life because you are faithful in keeping his Sabbath. Now, a lot of people say, well, the Sabbath came about at Mount Sinai, right? And that was for the Jews. But before Mount Sinai, before God gave the Ten Commandments, we see them mention keeping the Sabbath and keeping God's commandments. Throughout the Old Testament, the Sabbath was a sign between God and his people, that they were his people. And the Sabbath helped keep God's people faithful because each week they were remembering the Creator. And so it's only when people stopped keeping the Sabbath that they started to forget about God and they started worshiping all these other idols, right? But if they had kept the Sabbath each week, they would know that these other gods aren't their gods, but that the Creator, Jehovah, is their God. Mankind would have never forgot God if they had always kept the seventh-day Sabbath. The Bible tells us about Abraham in Genesis chapter 26. Hundreds of years before Mount Sinai, it says, Genesis chapter 26, verse 5, it says that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And so even before Mount Sinai, God had a law. He had the Ten Commandments. In fact, you can find every single one of the Ten Commandments mentioned before God gave the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. The law was already there. It had been given to Adam and Eve, and they had passed it on to their children and their descendants. In fact, that is why God took Abraham. The Bible says that God chose Abraham because he knew that Abraham would command his family after him and his children to keep his statutes and his laws. And so God is asking us to share with our children and to teach them to keep his commandments and his laws. And so before Mount Sinai, before God gave the Ten Commandments to the Israelites, the Sabbath was there and being kept. We see this also in the story of the manna, right? This was from Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. Now they had left Egypt, but they hadn't got to Mount Sinai yet. They hadn't got to the Ten Commandments. And God sends them manna from heaven, right? They were complaining about a lack of food there in the desert. And so God told Moses that he would rain bread from heaven. Exodus 16, verse 26. It says, 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. And so God sent the manna for 6 days. On Sunday, he sent it, and they could go gather it. On Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday, They could go gather the manna, what they needed for that day. Now, what happened if they kept it over to the next day? It would go bad, right? It would stink and grow worms and all. But then on Friday, they were supposed to gather twice as much. Did it go bad Friday night? No, it was a miracle, right? And it was preserved, and the next day, no manna fell. And so God was giving them the lesson, teaching them the habit of keeping the Sabbath holy. And it says that on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath. And so, in other words, the Sabbath was already there before the Ten Commandments. And the people knew about the Sabbath. Now, did all the people obey? No. Some of them went out, tried to gather, and they didn't find any manna that Sabbath morning. And what did God say to them? He said, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? Now, which commandment had they broken? The Sabbath, right? They had only broken one, the Sabbath commandment. But Jesus says, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? You see, when you break one, you break all, James says. And the Sabbath was a law that had already been given. And God used the Sabbath as a test. He used the Sabbath as a test for his people. And we know that God will use the Sabbath as a test again before he comes. We see that in Revelation chapter 13, where the whole world will be told to worship on Sunday, to worship the beast and his image, but the faithful will keep the Sabbath day holy. It will be the final test of who is faithful to God and who is not. And so the Sabbath, before there was an old covenant, before there was a new covenant, before there was a Jew or Israelite, before God wrote it with his finger on Mount Sinai, the Sabbath was already a law and a command for us to keep. And then, of course, on Mount Sinai, God gave the Ten Commandments. God gave us the Ten Commandments. Now, it's interesting. You look here in Exodus chapter 20. Which commandment is the longest? The fourth commandment. The Sabbath commandment is the longest. Now, Lauren and I, we decided we would have an anniversary trip. And so we went for an anniversary trip, and we asked her mom to watch the kids for us for a couple days while we could go celebrate our anniversary. And so Lauren has this long, detailed list for her mom. Now, you know, they make sure that, you know, they don't go swimming. You know, we don't want anything to happen. Make sure they don't, do this. Make sure they brush their teeth. And, you know, feed them at this time and do this and that. And this whole long list. And then at the end, and don't forget to feed the cat. Now, which is more important to Lauren? Is it the kids or is it the cat? The kids, right? She spent all this time telling her mom about how to take care of the kids. And then she just throws in about the cat, right? God spent all the most time writing out the fourth commandment. You think it was important to him? You think it was important to him? It's the longest commandment. He gives detailed instruction, and it's the only one that says, remember. You see, all the other Christians, denominations, they keep all the other nine, right? They don't have any problem with the other nine, at least. They don't have other gods before them and shouldn't bow down to idols and take his name in vain and honor their father and mother and don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't covet, right? Don't lie, bear false witness. But the Sabbath commandment, the one that they're told to remember, they forget. You think God knew that people would forget the fourth commandment. And that's why he put remember in there, because God has a foresight. The Bible says God knows the end from the beginning. He knew that his people would forget. And so he says, remember the Sabbath day. And not only did he put that word remember in there because he knew that we would forget it, but also he's telling you that I am not instituting this day right now. This is a day I created back at creation. He's saying, remember that day I created, and he references that right in the commandment. He says, for in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Now, does it say that he rested on a seventh day or on the seventh day? On the seventh day. God used a definite article. He didn't just say rest on a seventh day, but he said the seventh day. Did God mess up his words? He had a slip of the tongue. Right? Or did God purposely write that the way that he did? Because he wants us to know that this is a special day. And it says that it reminds us of those three acts, that he rested, and he therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. We see all three as a reminder of what God instituted from the beginning. And so the Sabbath in the commandment was not just for the Jews, but it was for all mankind. In fact, if you read Exodus and you even read the commandment, it says that the stranger within your gates is supposed to keep it. So even the stranger, even the Gentiles were supposed to keep the Sabbath. Now, were the Gentiles supposed to be circumcised? No, they didn't have to be circumcised. But the Bible says that the Gentiles in your gates were to keep the Sabbath with you. Sabbath was for all mankind. And we know that Jesus said that. He said the Sabbath was made for Israel. Oh, no. He said the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And so God gives us this commandment, not merely one day in seven, but the specific day that God placed a blessing on, that he rested on, and that he made holy. Now, interesting, it's the only day that God names. Everywhere in the Bible, you see, he just calls it the first day, or the second day of the week, or the third day of the week, the fourth day of the week. You know, you look in the Bible, and when it talks about the first day, it's always just the first day. But when it talks about the seventh day, God gave it a name. In other words, he showed ownership of that day. When I give a name to my child, I'm showing ownership. This is my child, right? I didn't name your child. I didn't name your child, right? They were my child. God showed ownership of this day by giving it a name, calling it the Sabbath. So the Sabbath is for all mankind. The Sabbath points us back to creation, right? We worship God because he is our creator. And we see that in Revelation chapter 4, where you see the heavenly throne room open, and the people are worshiping God, it says, because he created us and made us. But there is another reason why we worship God. Why else do we worship God? Not just because he is our creator, but why else? He saved us, right? Revelation chapter 5. So first, all the hosts of heaven say in Revelation 4:11, say, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. So God's worthy of worship because he created all things. And by your will, they exist and were created. And then you see a few verses later, after John sees that lamb slain from the foundation of the world and taking the scroll, then they sing a new praise to God. It says, worthy is the lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And they praise God because he saved us. And so the Sabbath is when we worship God, not just as our creator, but as our savior. Do we see in the Bible anywhere where it tells us to worship on the Sabbath as our, worship God on the Sabbath because he is our Savior? Yes, turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12. He says, "Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who does what? Who sanctifies them." We are to worship on the Sabbath because God sanctifies us. Because God makes us holy. He makes us his people again, and that's something that he did at the cross. And so the Sabbath isn't just an act of worship because he's our creator, but it's an act of worship because he is our Savior. And what about Jesus? Did he keep the Sabbath? Yes, Jesus kept the Sabbath. Jesus gave us the example that we are to keep the Sabbath. Now, a lot of people say, well, Jesus, you know, he picked grain, he healed people, and also, you know, he was showing us we don't have to keep it anymore. But did Jesus ever say that? No. In fact, Jesus was showing us the real purpose of the Sabbath. The real purpose is to give people rest. Rest from their diseases, rest from hunger, rest from this world of suffering and sin. And he kept the Sabbath as was his custom. He didn't teach to abolish it. It says in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, "And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up." But he's returning back to Nazareth. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And so Jesus' custom was to keep the Sabbath. Now, is Jesus our perfect example? Or should we follow Jesus in everything he does except for how he worships? Like, would that make any sense? Let's follow our Savior. Let's follow God, who came to be our example, in everything that he does except for how he worships. We'll worship on a different day. That just makes no sense, right? If he's our perfect example, and if the law is perfect, which Psalm says it is, then why should we not keep the Sabbath the same way that Jesus did and worship the same way that he did? In fact, Jesus told us, "Do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Jesus came to show that we can live a life in compliance with God's law. And he did that perfectly so that he could be our substitute and die for our sins. For as he told us, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Now, why would Jesus do all this and say all this and keep the Sabbath, say Sabbath was made for man, and teach people how to keep it right instead of with all these burdens that the Pharisees put on it? Why would he teach people to do all that only to have it go away in a year or a month? I mean, that would be like me, you know, spending a couple years remodeling my home only to tear it down right after I finished it. Does that make any sense at all? Right? And so Jesus was teaching them, showing them how to keep the Sabbath, that it was made for them. Why would he, now if he was God, he would know, right, that on his death it would switch to Sunday. Why would he do all that just to have it all torn down? It just doesn't make any sense. It's not logical. Not logical that Sabbath changed to Sunday at Jesus' death. He just says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." We keep God's Sabbath because we love him. It's not to gain merit. Even after Jesus died, you know, when I talk to people that keep worship on Sunday, they say, oh, well, you know, at the cross it changed and Jesus rose on Sunday. But if it changed at the cross, why did Jesus stay in the grave on Sabbath? If I'm God and my son died, if he accomplished his mission right then, I want to give him a big hug. I want to have a celebration. I want to be with my son right away, right? But instead, God waits the whole Sabbath day. And Jesus rests in the grave because he had accomplished his work of salvation. Friday was preparation day. Sabbath day, he rested in the grave. And the Bible says that on the first day of the week, that he rose again. And so he rests on the Sabbath because he had finished his work of salvation. Did the disciples keep the Sabbath after Jesus' death? Yes, we saw right there after his death in Luke chapter 23. It says, and the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. And so they came there Friday, but they didn't put the spices and ointments on him. They went back to prepare the spices and the fragrant oils, and then they rested on the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now, if Jesus had died and he had told his disciples that when I die, the Sabbath is Sunday, why did they rest on the Sabbath according to the commandment the day after his death? Because he hadn't told them that, right? Jesus had spent 3.5 years with them. If the Sabbath was to be done away with, you think he would have told them? Or you think it would be written here in this book? And not only that, when did Luke write the book of Luke? It was like 30 years later. Why didn't he say, you know, why did he make a point to mention the Sabbath according to the commandment if they were keeping Sunday at that point in time? It just doesn't make sense. And so we see that even after his death, that the disciples rested on the Sabbath. And then on the first day of the week, remember, there's no name for the first day in the Bible. It just calls it the first day. It says on the first day of the week, very early, they went, you know, because they were doing work again. They were going to prepare his body with the spices and the ointments. And so it shows that they were not keeping Sunday holy. You see in the book of Acts, all throughout the book of Acts, that they kept the Sabbath day holy. Nowhere in the book of Acts does it show that they kept Sunday. Acts chapter 13, it says they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And they taught the people, and the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next day on Sunday at their church. Is that what the Gentiles begged? No, the Gentiles begged, come back next Sabbath. We want to hear. Now, if the Gentiles were keeping Sunday service, why didn't they ask them to just preach to the next day? It's because Jew and Gentile kept the Sabbath day. They weren't worshiping on Sunday. Now, there was a huge conflict in the early church. You guys know what that was? We read about it in Acts and through Paul's letters. What was that big conflict about what the Gentiles should do or not do? Circumcision. Someone say that? Circumcision. Yes. And we read about it. Like, there's this, should the Gentiles have to be circumcised or not? Now, if there was a change of Sabbath to Sunday, do you think we would have maybe a few verses about it? You think there'd be, you know, some of the brethren there in Jerusalem, James and Peter, saying, whoa, 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 you're not having the Gentiles worship on Sabbath? You think we'd have a few maybe letters about it or something? I mean, you have all this about circumcision. Why don't we see any dialogue or discussion about the Sabbath? It's because they were worshiping on the Sabbath. The Gentiles were worshiping on the Sabbath. And in fact, it says then even the next Sabbath, the whole city came out and gathered together to hear the word of God. We see again in Acts chapter 16 that on the Sabbath day, they went out to the city, out of the city to the riverside. And so they were worshiping on the Sabbath. Again, Acts chapter 18, they reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded who? both Jew and Greek every Sabbath. And so did the apostles keep the Sabbath? Yeah, so we've seen that Adam and Eve kept the Sabbath. We've seen that the patriarchs kept the Sabbath. The Israelites kept the Sabbath. We've seen that Jesus kept the Sabbath, that his disciples kept the Sabbath, that his apostles kept the Sabbath. All throughout the Bible, God's people kept the Sabbath. And Jesus taught that it would be kept after his death. In Matthew chapter 24, talking about the destruction of Jerusalem to happen in AD 70, 40 years after his death, Jesus said, "But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day." Now, did Jesus not know the Sabbath was going to change? Was Jesus confused? Or did Jesus know that the Sabbath was still his binding institution, even 40 years after his death in AD 70? Yes, Jesus knew. Sabbath is also part of the new covenant. You read in Hebrews chapter 8 that the new covenant is not a new law, but it is God's law written in our hearts and written in our minds. You know, a lot of people tell me, "Oh, well, I'm under the new covenant." Well, the new covenant is God's law in your heart, so you should be keeping all 10 commandments, right? You should be worshiping on the Sabbath day. And then we get to the last book of the Bible. John, the revelator, the disciple Jesus loved, he's there on the island of Patmos. And God gives him this special revelation, this special vision of what is to take place at the end time. And John says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." What is the Lord's day? The Sabbath. A lot of people say, "See, right there, supposed to keep Sunday. Lord's Day." I'm like, well, where in the Bible does it say Sunday is the Lord's Day? Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Says, "Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." And the fourth commandment says that it is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. The only day in the Bible God claims as his is the Sabbath day. And so John was there and got a special blessing that Sabbath. Got that vision. And this last book calls us to obedience to God, to keep all of his commandments, the saints, those who will be God's faithful people in the end. It says in Revelation chapter 14, verse 12, it says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. In other words, God will have a people, even at the very end, who are keeping his Sabbath, who are keeping his commandment. And God calls all of us to be faithful and to keep his Sabbath holy. One more verse I want to look at. So we've seen that before sin entered the world, they were supposed to keep the Sabbath. And we've seen that the apostles before Jew and Israelite, Mount Sinai, were to keep the Sabbath. And then the Israelites were to keep the Sabbath. And then the Gentiles and the Christian church in the New Testament were to keep the Sabbath. But we also see that in heaven, we will be keeping the Sabbath day holy. It says, "For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain." So he's talking about creating the new heaven and new earth. It says, "And from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord." But what day will we be worshiping in eternity? On the Sabbath in heaven, right? Now, why would God have it that we were supposed to keep the Sabbath from creation all the way after the fall through, you know, the Old Testament and through the time of you know, in Babylon and in captivity and coming back and through the time of Jesus' life. But and then, oh, after Jesus died, we worship on Sunday and we do that until Jesus comes. And then we switch back to Saturday when we're in heaven. Now, does that make sense? It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make any sense to worship on Sunday when we know that in heaven we will be worshiping on the Sabbath. And so, friends, God invites each one of us to spend this day with Him. He wants us to spend the day with Him. God wants us to be His people, and He wants to be our God. Will you promise Him that you will keep His Sabbath day whole?
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listing of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website, or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.